long goal was to reveal the Messiah through those people settled in the promised land. So to achieve the long goal of getting them into the land and the long-range goal of revealing the Messiah to the people and through the people, first God needed to do the short-range goal, get the people on the road to victory. So he chose a man by the name of Joshua, as we've been reading his life for all these weeks. Joshua had a strategy. See, the leader has a strategy. Look at verse 4. He commanded them, saying, "See, you're going to ambush the city." Here's the strategy. "From behind it. Do not get very far from the city, but all of you be ready. And then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out to meet us as at the first, we will flee before them. They'll come out after us until we've drawn them away from the city. For they will say, 'They're fleeing for us as at the first,' and so we'll flee before them. And you'll rise up from your ambush, and you'll take possession of the city." Why? "For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." In other words, we trust God's going to do this, and here's the strategy. Now, how does that work? If God's going to do it, why does he need our strategy? That's the way God does things. That's why. He doesn't need our strategy, but somehow he gives us the privilege of having a strategy through which he chooses to work. That's the amazing thing about God. He doesn't need any of this. Remember, he made the world without anybody's help. But he still somehow enlists our ingenuity as a part of his program. Joshua not only had the assurance of victory from God, but he had an ample army and he had a strategy. His ultimate goal was to make much of God by taking what God had given them. You get that? His goal was to make much of God so people would say, "Wow, what a God you serve," because they took what God had given them. Simple as that. Now, our church, we exist. You got your bulletin on the front. It says, we exist to make much of God. We have a strategy for doing that by developing fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what it means to honor God, is to make much of God. And in making much of God, for everybody to see, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we have God's assurance that we can accomplish what he has for us? Do we really think we can do this, make disciples? Do we? What makes us think we can do that? Well, Jesus said we can. John 14:12, "Truly I say to you, he believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So the question for us is, do we have an ample army of committed warriors in this church, or is this place full of pew warmers? Do we have a strategy for enlisting God's people to be what God has in store for us? You see, much of what makes us ready to be God-glorifying people, much of what we need in order to glorify God is right here in this book, this Bible. And our church makes much of preaching the Word and teaching the Word in various ways. To make disciples requires that we teach God's Word to faithful people who will take it on themselves, live it out, and teach others. That's what disciple-making is. Not simply an intellectual exercise, but through the intellect brings a change of the will and the heart. So I teach up here in our various Sunday morning and weekly Bible study opportunities. Everybody has a chance to take in the Word. It's there for everybody who wants it. Two questions. First of all, right now, this morning, ask yourself, do you seize these opportunities to learn God's Word? Well, I'm kind of busy. Do you seize these opportunities? And second question, do you look for opportunities to tell others what the Lord, tell others about the Lord based on what you're learning? You see, that's the heart of making disciples, which is what Jesus calls us to do. It begins in the home, of course. Begins in the home where parents make disciples of their children. Not where parents say, "I'll let the church make disciples of the children." No, parents are a part of the church, and you are to make disciples of your children. Teaching them God's Word, living it out. That's our strategy. Not real flashy all the time, but it's time-tested. They've been doing it for 2,000 years and it seems to work. And so, do you want to go forward spiritually? If so, here's what you need to do. First, believe God's promises. Believe that He is. Believe that He's with you and He wants to accomplish His purposes through you. Believe that. He does. He said He does. On who, me? Yes, you. Second, take yourself and enlist. Report for duty. Make yourself available to what God is accomplishing through His church, through this church. Thirdly, get on board with the strategy that we're following here. See this as God's program for your walk with God. It's biblical. It isn't just enough to just, I know that. No, faith is an action. And so by faith, God's people do certain things and they avoid certain things. And so as you and I seek to begin again for 2011, let's be careful to intentionally follow that God-given strategy. Remember, it's not enough just to know the strategy. Oh, it's getting into the Word. No, it's about intentionally getting into the Word. That's what we see going on in Joshua 8, beginning with verse 10. Strategy. I'm not going to reread those verses. It's simply, those verses lay out the actual carrying out of the strategy Joshua had already laid out for them. Intentionally following the strategy. So you got these 30,000 strong warriors. Part of them broke away to coax the warriors out of their city. I thought, hey, we're going to whoop them again like we did before. Meanwhile, the rest of the army is hiding in ambush. So as the people of Ai came out of the city, they left it unguarded, and the people of Israel came in and set it on fire. When Ai's warriors turned around and saw their city going up in smoke, they turned back home, and they met a wall of Israelite soldiers who closed in, and they ended the battle quickly. Decisively wiped out Ai. They followed the strategy. God's people intentionally followed the strategy that God's chosen leaders had given them for accomplishing what God had for them. Now, believe it or not, we are following a strategy in our church. Our purpose as a church is to honor God by developing fully devoted followers of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, so I preach the Word. I want you to hear it. I read it. I want you to hear it. That's why we have the Bible studies on Sunday morning and Bible studies during the week occasionally. All of those are opportunities to take in God's Word. And along with taking it in, to be accountable to other people, to live out God's Word, to trust Christ, and to hold others accountable to trust Christ. The intentionality finds you saying, I know the strategy, I'm going to get on board. I'm not going to waste another second of my life. If this is what I need to do to grow, I'm going to do it. It doesn't seem real flashy, but it's what God says that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do it. The question I have to ask is, why are there some who would stay home and miss those opportunities? And too busy is a very fun little mantra that folks like to use. But you know, God's strategy for your growth and God's strategy for my growth involves several things. It involves, first of all, the intake of His Word. Secondly, it involves having a close connection and an accountability with His people. Can't do it alone. Thirdly, it involves dependence on Him in prayer. And also it involves the sharing of that truth with others. Is it happening here? Oh, it is in some lives. I see it. It's great. Praise God. You need to ask, is it happening in your own life? Or are you one of the ones who stays at home and has other things going on? Now, nobody needs to squirm or get all offended. Instead, let's just begin again. You know, let's just commit ourselves. Commit yourself to be available for all that God has for you. And there's no end to the distractions we face. You know, there's pressures at work, health and relationship issues, you name it. It all affects us. It can so easily sidetrack us and we find ourselves not intentional in our walk with God because we're kind of distracted. Now, you know, you may not be over your head in iniquity, but are you and I as a church, as a group, are we wading around in lukewarmth right now? See, we tend to think of lukewarmth as an individual thing, and it is. But lukewarmth can also be a corporate thing, a church-wide thing. And that's why Jesus confronted a lukewarm church in the first century, and this is what He said, Revelation 3:15. He said this to a church, not just to an individual, to a church, to a group. He said, I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't like the sound of that. You? And yet, I have to ask. I hate the thought that Jesus might say that about our church or about you or me. And yet when He looks at what we do with ourselves, do we look like fired up Christians to Him as individuals and as a group? What's He see? I hope and pray that it's your intention to begin again for 2011. And to do that, believe God's promises, enlist yourself to get on board with what God is doing, Get involved with the strategy we have here, sticking with the strategy intentionally. Every chance you get, take in the Word, be accountable. But here's the biggest part of the journey for beginning again, 2011. And that is never, never turn from the Lord. It's not an option anymore. After the victory at Ai, Joshua built an altar to the Lord. They did not rest on their past victories and neglect further duties before God. Because God said, this is what you need to do. Back in Deuteronomy 7, God very specifically said, when you're in the wilderness, do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. And He laid out this strategy for them, and they followed it to a exact point. As we read, beginning with verse 30, they continued to follow the Lord by doing exactly what He said. Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, which is back in Deuteronomy 27. And he laid it out an altar of uncut stones in which no man had wielded an iron tool. They offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord. They sacrificed peace offerings. And Joshua wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel, with their elders and officers, their judges, they were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord, stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, half in front of Mount Ebal. And Deuteronomy explains what that meant and why they did that. It was exactly the way Moses, the servant of the Lord, had told them to do, to bless the people of Israel. And then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. See what they were doing? They were beginning again. God is calling us to begin again. Begin again. He had them read His Word as a crucial part of beginning again. God calls us to begin again. Don't stay where you are. Begin again to follow Jesus. Simple. Believe what God has promised. Sign on. Enlist yourself to His church and get a handle on that strategy that we follow for making disciples. Not only understand the strategy, but intentionally jump on at the various chances to take in the Word, to be accountable, and never turn back. Never turn back. Intentionally make the decision to begin again in 2011. By God's grace, don't turn back. Don't turn back. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the begin again. To be born again is our beginning. To turn to You fresh and new. To walk away from old things and old patterns that have not pleased You. We do that because You said we can. We do that because the blood was shed so we can be forgiven. We do that because Your Holy Spirit urges us in that direction. We do that not to somehow make You happy, but we do that because You have said we're Your children and You are happy. So we come forward to walk with You because there's no other way of living that makes any sense. Convince us of that if we're not convinced. Thank You for Your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.